Lord says, you're used to being full. What happens when you're running on empty? How do you get then? You know how we get very spiritual when our gas is real low? And you're driving? You start speaking in tongues a lot then. Just get me home, Daddy. Okay, just get me to the gas station. What happens when you're running on low instead of running on full? You're running on your own power. Here we are, October. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. In this harvest time, we need to have an understanding of what we're about to harvest. For some folks, it's going to be real good because you've been putting good seed in the ground. For other folks, what you've been sowing is not good. You want to sow discord? Guess what's coming your way? You want to sow lies and deceit? Guess what's coming your way? But if you're sowing the good seed, I ain't talking about your money either. I'm talking about your lifestyle. I'm talking about what God has instituted inside of you to be good, do good, so that you can always produce good. You're getting ready to see your harvest. You're getting ready to see your harvest. I feel the anointing of the Lord in here that is purposed. It's not just the feeling that you get. It's not the goosebumps. I can turn it down real cold in here. You'll get goosebumps. That's not the Holy Spirit. Or the opposite. I'm real hot. This something's about to happen. No, you could be also very nervous. For some of you that don't like speaking in front of people, stand up here, you'll get real hot. But I do know something. That when I feel an anointing that is in here right now, it's purposed. The oil isn't poured on just to have it poured on. It's purposed. It's purpose for your life. So what I want to share with you right now is this message that the Lord allowed me to put together is that we're shifting into completeness. We're shifting into completeness. The Hebrew calendar starts a new year today. We're still on the last quarter of 2016 on the Gregorian calendar. Do you remember the prophetic word that the Lord spoke in January? Actually, I spoke it early November of last year, of what was going to take place in 2016. Well, if you don't remember, I'll refresh your memory. The Lord had spoken and said that this would be the year of being fruitful. Fruitful. We celebrated that we're going to see the fruit of our labor. We're going to see all this kind of fruit just popping up everywhere. Well, I started seeing different kind of fruit pop up. I said, I didn't put that in the ground. That's not the seed I put in the ground. Where'd this come from? All kinds of attacks. How many of you had attacks this year? Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. Everybody's had some attacks. Pastor, we all come under attack. No, these attacks that I'm talking about are the ones that you know were strategic. These weren't just, I don't like what you're wearing. That's not an attack. That's someone's opinion. And you can tell them to keep it to themselves. Pastor, you wore those jeans last time. You don't like them? Buy me some new ones. I'm just giving you an example. That's all. That's all. Calm down. Just calm down. Just give an example. But we had some attacks. I said, Lord, this don't make no sense if it's the year of the fruitfulness of God. He says, sometimes you got to understand that what fruit is being produced in your life, in order for it to produce, something must die and germinate. We've been going through a dying process in 2016. We've been going through a process that dealt with man. Self. So the Hebrew calendar was 5776. What is the number of man? 6. So the first portion of 2016, the latter portion of 2015, began to deal with our issues at home. Okay, I don't want to jump too far ahead. I do want to kind of teach, but I feel a preach. But if I don't teach you this, and you don't get an understanding of it, you're not going to know where you're going. So, in the year 5776, it dealt with man. But we are about to experience something different in the year 5777. See, the names and numbers in the Bible are significant, and they always have meaning. The economy and the kingdom of God of timing, Kairos and Chronos. We are about to experience what God wants to do in this season like never before. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 12:32. 1 Chronicles 12:32. When you're there, say amen. 1 Chronicles 12:32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. How many of you would like to know and have understanding with the season and the time? That means that you have such an understanding. Not only do you understand, you know what to do. Maybe I tried. I really tried. I did it for you, baby, just for you. My bad. Thank you, sir. Thank you. 1 Chronicles 12:32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. I want the understanding of the times. And not only that, I want to know what to do with it. In Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament and of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So here we are now. God is establishing now in Genesis 1 timing, seasons, and years. Sometimes we say, well, most of the times us Christian folks, you know, all those church going folks, we use, oh, it's been one of those kind of seasons. It's been a season. You don't know what kind of season I've had. When you begin to speak of seasons, you know that it's going to be something that is temporal. But why is it, does it feel like it's been seasons of the same thing? Because what God wants to do and to show you is that it has an end to your season. It's going to shift into a new season. Before I want you to start even thinking about your shift, let's understand where you shifted from. We shifted from 5776 to 5777. This is the transition from immaturity to maturity. Okay, listen here. You should have shouted right there. In other words, in 2016, 5776, you were a little immature in your season. That doesn't mean that you were like a child, you didn't understand. That means you didn't have understanding to mature past that level that you've been going through. Are you following me? But now we're going to graduate. We're going to transition. We're going to shift from immaturity to what? Maturity. We're going to mature. For some of you that have investments in stocks and bonds, when it comes to maturity, is there an increase? Yes, that's the whole reason why you put money aside. You invest so that it will mature. But if it doesn't mature, then you're losing your initial investment. Hello? So what seed has been deposited in you that hasn't yet matured? Some of you are going through a season of trying to understand the level of faith that God is trying to get you to. God, I just want to move in signs and wonders. I want to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. He says, okay, you're going to go through some stuff. Hey, don't want to go through that kind of stuff. How about we just graduate quickly to that next level? I know that I wish I could say, God, let your oil just flow from me. God, let it flow. He says, I got to get it to you first. Well, wait a minute. You got to get the oil to me. I thought that because I accepted you, I was already flowing in your oil, demanding in your call. He says, no, you're going to have to learn to die, germinate, in order for you to mature into the fullness, then produce fruit. You're just not going to be fruitful just because you desire to. 2006 had to deal with us as people. Man, it dealt with us as a child. And we're going to that level of training to become more mature. It is a transition from wandering in the wilderness to mounting up as an army to take the land. How many of you have been wandering in a wilderness experience for a season? You're about ready to come out now from wandering to establishing, from wandering to taking back your land, from wandering around aimlessly, not knowing where to go, what the season holds. You're now going to take your land and make a stake into the land. You're going to take authority. You are part of the ecclesia, and God has posted you on your station for service among the candlesticks of his global body. The seven stars speak of the seven spirits of God being poured out to cause you this year to have an ascension mentality that you will forever change the way you think, live, and interact with those around you. Whoop! Did you feel that? That means my mind is going to see me in a different place. My mind is going to have me interact with people differently. My mind is going to tell me that I can't be the joker that I used to be or play around with jokers that are still jokers. I wish I had a drummer in here. I wish I had someone that would tell me, if you don't change your way, then you don't need me in your life. Because I'm going somewhere and I can't stay put with someone that doesn't have the same mentality of increase. I do not see myself where I'm at. I keep looking to my prophetic future by the word of God spoken into my life to see where I am going, that where I'm at is only transitional. Oh, Lord. See, the children of Israel were in the wilderness experience, but they never saw themselves occupying the land. So what did God do? He tells Moses, get yourself some spies. Send them across the Jordan. Isn't that interesting? He sends them across into Canaan, and there was no miracle to get them there. Are you hearing this? In order for them to get there with Israel, all the Israelites, a miracle had to be performed. Oh, God, help me. If God has to do a miracle to get you to believe and to see, that means that you had doubt and unbelief. But when God says go and you say I'll go, then there's no miracle that needs to be performed. You just go. Because you're being obedient. And when you're being obedient, he doesn't have to part the River Jordan. He doesn't have to do it at flood stage. When you're obedient, he says, go, you just go. How come it wasn't written about how they got there? They just showed up. And they were there. When they get there, the 12 of them see the same thing. How many of them came back and gave a good report? How many? Two. Two of them, both of you stand right here. Two of them gave a good report. What was that report?
What's the report?
It's awesome. There's grapes as big as your head.
Just grapes, how big?
As big as your head.
And I got a big head.
I got a big head too.
There's grapes that big.
And honey. It's flowing with milk and honey.
Oh, man. Now, the two that gave a report like that, you should think that all of Israel should be jumping. Let's go. But they listened to the 10. I'm not going to pull 10 of y'all. But on the other side of positivity comes negativity. What are you listening to and who are you listening to is going to determine what side of grace and the power of God that you're going to fall in. If you're going to stand around some positive folks, you're going to enter in. But if you stay around folks that are negative, you're going to go through another season. How big were they?
Big as your head.
My head. This is how big the grapes were. That's some grape jelly right there. You put that on some bread. Lord, have mercy. Who are you listening to during the time of transition? What did the negative say? Yes, there's giants in the land. And we are like grasshoppers in our sight. Wait a minute. Do some of the things that you are facing make you up small, making you feel like you're not going to overcome this big old giant? Well, I'm not going to be able to experience the things that God has for me because in my eyes I'm a grasshopper. But then it says this, they said the same thing that the negative said. Yes, in our eyes we're grasshoppers, but also in the eyes of the giants, guess what happened? Agreement. That agreement turned everything that God was instituting for them to do to shift over. That agreement and negativity kept them from getting over. What would have happened if Pastor Mate was on the scene? I said, Mate. And Mate got attitude. Pastor Mate said, hold on now. Suck it now. We going on over there because they got some grace big as my head. Lord, that's some big old stuff over there. We going to get out. We don't listen to those 10 over there. They're fools. We're going to get over to the other side. We're going to get to the other side. Because I see some grapes that I want to go and get. I got some milk. Put my post toasties and milk. It's all. We're going to get over to the other side. Don't listen to negativity in your shift. Don't listen to people that don't believe in what you're believing. But don't listen to your own negativity and describing yourself on what God has said, that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You will overcome every adversity. You will have victory. You may have to suffer a couple of losses, but you will win the battle. Get with folks that are going to speak encouraging words to you. Speak truth to you. So you may be down and out, but I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to encourage you. Don't go around those folks over there that like to talk about you, like to talk about you so much that you start believing in their reports. If we had someone really tell us the truth. We don't like it, but the truth will set you free. Oh, but you don't understand what I'm going. I don't need to understand. I know that the truth says. The truth says you're more than a conqueror. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Pastor. 5776 was dealing with self. This is how I know this to be true. I started asking God, wait a minute, what do you mean? I need to show these because these are scholars out here. They know. These scholars, they're Bible, you know, theologians. They know. You got to show me, God. He says, then break it down. Okay. I'll do that. The number 5 is the number of grace. The number of grace. How many of you needed grace in your life? Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you. And then it's just, watch this. Number 7 is the number of completion. Completion. Rest. He created the heavens and the earth and the firmament, and he created man on the sixth day. But on the seventh day, he rested. Everything was complete. Was God tired? No, we think that rest means don't do nothing. Rest means to step back, reevaluate, look at, and say, look at what I have done. That's God. And he looks at you saying, whew, you're the apple of my eye. He takes pleasure in his creation. So what is going on right now in 2016? There is more separation from the creation now and the Creator. There is so much turmoil that is going on that is literally coming against to defy God, to challenge God. Well, creation was as long as you love someone, then it makes it right. That's not what God said. No, God instituted it, man and woman. That's what God said. Now, if we preach against it, homosexuality, guess what happens? Now we get liable to go to jail. You want to send me to jail? I know that God has plans for me. And I'm not living under my own volition. I'm living because he has instituted me to live in a fashion that brings him glory. And if they want to put a gag in my mouth, I'm going to spit it out. And I'm going to preach truth. And the truth of the matter is that you cannot waver from the Bible. You cannot waver from the truth that has established the foundation of this world from the very beginning of time. We're shifting back to his completeness. His completeness. Get myself real. I was out there. Watch this. Grace, number 5. 3 7s. 7 7 7. Is bringing about completion on 3 levels of man's existence. Hallelujah. Spirit, body, soul. Your spirit man is coming into complete order with God. Your body is coming into alignment with his word. And your mind, your will, and your emotion, which is wrapped up in your soul, is coming into completion with the body of Christ, the word of God. And we're about to see what God instituted from the beginning of time. We're stepping back into position so that we can shift to our next level. Oh, Jesus. Watch this. Ooh. We're moving from a boy who reads to a man who stands between heaven and earth as a prophet, priest, and king. Moving from maturity to completion and fullness. Pastor, what you mean? Like a boy that reads. Well, let me show you. Mature you. All right. Five being the beginning of grace. Seven is a sword that represents, a double seven represents a two-edged sword of the word of God. Six is the number of man following and yielding to the grace of God, number five, and piercing discernment of the word of God in your life, thus bringing about the shift from 5:6:6 to 5:6:7, thereby putting on Christ as a new and fuller dimension. We're shifting from man to the dimension of God. The number 7 in the pictogram is that of Vav with a crown on it. Scholars often refer to the Hebrew glyphic for the number seven as a crown vav, or six, the number six. Thus we see that God is calling us up only out of the, not only out of the priesthood into Christ, but ruling and reigning in Christ. The double seven represents double rule, which is what Jesus taught us to pray, the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So 5776 and 5777 is a year of God's kingdom coming to earth. Look, I've been preaching thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, here now. I didn't do this study until about a week ago. When I started reading, I said, Lord, I've been preaching on this. He goes, because you're listening. You're listening to what I'm telling you to preach. I said, oh, Lord, I'm getting excited. He goes, you need to stay excited and excite the people for what's about to come. Watch this. Okay. I have the kingdom of your heart as my first conquest. This is what God is saying to us. I have your heart. That's the kingdom that I have conquest over. Why? Because when you say yes to Christ, you accept him into your heart, and now he rules and reigns in your heart. Oh, my goodness. So now we're seeing now Jesus come into this kingdom, because you know you're your own king. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're a tyrant kind of king. But when you have Christ in your life, you now are submitted to the royalty, the priesthood, the kinghood of Christ. So this is the territory that he first took over, is our life. Watch. The number seven is also the symbol of a sword that is also the symbol of a kneeling man. Did you see that? Seven is the symbol of a sword and of a kneeling man. As the word, the number seven, means cutting or to cut, the sword, covenant often used in the Bible, is also equivalent to the number seven. The word covenant often is used in the Bible, which is equivalent to the number seven. Jesus is saying to us all, go away or you will come into a renewed covenant with me by drinking my blood and eating my flesh. A new covenant is made in the sacrament. The number five is hey. The Egyptian pictogram of man with upraised arms. The Phoenician court, fence or window. The Hebrew symbol put in preposition describes a boy who reads. Often used as a name of God when the actual name of God was unutterable. Here we are getting ready to celebrate this new year today here in this sanctuary gym at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. You want to get here at 5 because there will be standing room only if you're coming. This will be for the trumpets that are going to be sound, for it's the Feast of Trumpets. They were going to be blowing the trumpets, the shofars, for declaration of the new year. If the Egyptian pictogram of man is with the arms praised, five is grace. Number seven is Zayin. Seven is full, complete, swear, and oath. The Hebrew pictogram of a crowned man, a boy yielding to man. Hebrew symbol represents a sword to cut, covenant, house, hook, pictogram. It represents a bowing man. So the number seven is saying that I've been crowned from a boy to a man. But before you can be completely crowned with the three sevens. You've had to have the 5, 7, 7, 6, which 6 is the number of man, which is depicted like a stake, like a tent stake into the ground. Why the tent stake? Because he's going to be dealing with your house. He's going to be dealing with you in your house to get your house in order. Oh, Lord. 2016, he's been dealing with your house. He's been dealing with everything that you've been going through to get your house in order. Get your children back in the home. Get your children back in line. Get yourself to be submitted unto God. I'm going to bring some things back into order. 2016, I've been dealing with man and their issues that has to do with their house. But I have the stake in the ground so they can take the territory back. Because they're getting ready to mature from a boy to a man. You are about to mature from where you were at. You are about to now go into glory in the realm of the spirit, where God is releasing your blessings because you're no longer where you used to be. He shifted you out to get you in to a new place. Lord, thank you. I thank you. I'm not who I used to be. Truth be told, if our real testimony was to come forth, it would have to be rated R, because some of us don't want to tell the real testimony. In Ephesians 4:11-12, out of the King James, it says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave. And when he gave it to us, he gave in this hour, in this season, for us to shift from being a boy of immaturity to stepping into maturity, into our calling. We are now going to experience that which was spoken of. When I became a man, I put away childish things. When I became a man, I put on the mind of Christ. My mind is being renewed. My actions are going to be different. I'm not going to be the same. I'm going to look different, talk different, and walk different, because God is bringing a change to me. Oh, Lord. In Revelations 5, turn there if you would. Revelations 5, 1 through 14. Revelations 5, 1 through 14. It's all of Revelation 5, actually, out of the NIV. I'm going to read this to you. And then I'll begin to close. I don't know how long my close is going to be, so bear with me. I wanted to get this out so I can teach it to you. God's been dealing with our house. And I'm glad that he is. When you're there at Revelations 5, shout hallelujah. We're there, amen. Verse 1 says, then I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then, watch this. Then after verse 5, it says in verse 6, then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain. Don't miss that. He had an understanding of what a lamb should look like if it was slain. So when he looked up, he was able to see Christ, the Lamb of God, who was bruised for your transgressions, who was pierced for your iniquities, who had the stripes upon his back for your healing, who was crowned on thorns but now has the crown of glory. He was able to see the perfect lamb that was given for an offering, the sacrifice for your sins. He knew who this Christ was. He knew who this was who had been offered as a sacrifice. Standing at the center of the throne, encircled by 4 living creatures and the elders, the Lamb had 7 horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Who had the seven horns? Christ. Who had the seven eyes? Christ. I said, Lord, I want to know that this is true. I'm studying my word. I'm studying this. I guess someone over here has got good eyesight. Go quickly. Good eyesight. Well, if you're going to come, I go run. Son, run, run. Look at my keys. Look at the one that's on there. Looks a little different. It's green. What is that? Eyes. I want you to show it to my mama over there real quick. What is that? Okay, I know you got your, I got you, you know, you got your eyes on. What is that? Peacock feathers. Have y'all seen peacock feathers? Has eyes. All right, now I'm gonna just hold up with me a little bit. Give me my keys, give me my keys. Look here, look here. Make sure I get my keys back. Thank you, sir. I started doing this study, and I had my keys on my desk. I said, the seven eyes, God, that's kind of strange in Revelation, because I know all these preachers out there and all these eschatology preachers, they preach about the end times, and they always say about the seven eyes. And Lord, I just want a sign. I just want a sign. I looked down on my desk, and that key is the peacock key. And it's the key for my office. Listen, listen. Let me learn you. The seven eyes is the seeing eyes of God for the seven churches that are being established in the book of Revelation. That he says, I've given you some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, and some pastors. Here's what he was saying to me. He says, I see all things in the churches. I know all things, but I've given you the key to your office that has the eye of my approval. I have removed the seal that is going to allow you to move into maturity and what I've ordained you to do before the foundations of the earth. I'm here to tell you something, that God is getting ready to open some doors in your life that you have been fighting to get open, that you couldn't get open in a season, but he's going to shift and it's going to get you access when you didn't have access before. Lord, help me in this. The seven eyes is the omniscient of God, the all-powerful God. That he is everywhere. He sees all things. You can't hide from a God that can see everything and is everywhere at every time. See, we want to blame the devil for everything, but he doesn't have that ability. God has the ability to be where you're at any given moment of your life. We need to draw on the key of David. And say he is the one that with something shut, something else is about to be opened. Because the key of David is about to let me in. Because I'm shifting from myself to maturity in him. Oh, Lord, hear me. Yeah, someone that has been suffering some stuff in their body is about to get loose and heal. Oh, I feel you. Come on, Josh. See, there's some things that have been working against your house. The temple of God has been coming against you. It has to do with your body, whether you're made whole or you're sick. And if you're sick, it didn't come from God. If you got something going on in your mind, it didn't come from God. It came from the enemy that has been trying to attack the house. And God says, now I'm shifting you away from dealing with this. And I'm about to eradicate this thing in your life. And I'm going to bring healing to your body. I'm going to bring healing to your heart. I'm going to bring healing to your soul. Where your mind, your will, and your emotions are going to be set in order. I'm shifting you to a place where you've never been. You're going going to be walking one way, we're going to shift you another. You're going to enter into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Don't listen to the naysayers. Listen to the yay-sayers. Get with some people that say, yay, God, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for thy rod and your staff shall comfort me all the days of my life. It don't matter what it looks like. You're the author and finisher of my faith. You are the key of David. You are the root of David. You are the shoot of David. But whatever I go through, you're going to get me up out of it. You're going to shift me out of this thing. I'm going to go someplace I've never been. I'm going to see myself different. I'm going to talk different. I'm going to walk different. People are going to see me different. Why? Because you are the child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Worthy to pray. Glorify the Lord. Here's the land that was slain. Sins of this world. He went on the cross for you. He was cursed and hung on a tree. But he died because he gave up his own life for you. For you. If he died for nobody else, he died for you. He took the stripes upon his back for nobody else but you. We're shifting. We're shifting out of being in all this kind of mess in our wilderness. It's a new season. It's a new day. And the oil from your oppression is getting ready to burst forth. This is that time. Your mind being renewed. Your heart being healed. Your body being healed. Whatever your ailment, whatever sickness or whatever disease. See, then we're going about, woo! Two by two. Healing those with all kinds of sickness and disease. He's healing them all. He said, two came back with the report that it was good. Jesus said, you're following my pattern because I sent him out two by two. To do the working miracles of the kingdom of heaven. When I fed my people, I fed the people with 5,000 people. Two fish. And five loaves. Come on now. The number two is the multiplier in your life. When you've been single, doing it all by yourself. The number two is the multiplier that says, I, God, myself, am about to multiply for you in this season. In this season. Woo! Hallelujah! You're worthy. You're worthy. Hey! Woo! My! Watch this. In verse 7, he says this. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Verse 7, he took the scroll. And verse 8, the new beginning. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and your blood you purchased for God. Persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on earth. Talking about you. You're going to sing a new song because the angels in heaven are singing a new song concerning you. Huh. if he says that every person that says yes to Jesus, that the angels in heaven celebrate when you say yes to Christ, now they're singing and the trumpets are sounding because the prayers of the godly ones have gone up and they're singing a new song. Huh. Has your song been the same old song and dance? Woe is me. He says, if I can do for 5,000, I can provide. He is going to provide for you in this season. In this season, what you're in need of, he's going to provide. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter how it's been. It don't matter even how it sounded like. There's going to be a new sound. There's going to be something different. There's going to be something different about you. That people are going to look at you and say, my God. And you'll look back and say, my God is good. My God is good. Why is he good? Because he's proven to be faithful. Faithful. When you're weak, he is strong. Are you weak? Have you been in turmoil? Have you been walking in ambiguity, not knowing what is next? I don't know what's going to happen. You're going to get your babies back. Be returned back to you. I'm changing some things. This system will no longer keep them from you. I am working on your behalf. I am working because you said yes to me. And I'll get your babies back to you. Don't stray from the purpose of God in your life. Walk in the purpose of God. Watch and see what I will do because you're my beloved. I've heard your prayers. I've heard your cries. I've answered your supplication. And I've got people praying on your behalf, says the Spirit of God. What looks impossible will not be impossible for God. He is the God of impossibility to make possible. He is still working on your behalf. Hear the Spirit of God prophesy to you, beloved. He will get your babies back. And that the years of the cankerworm and the palmerworm, let me talk to you in a way that is not so spiritual. Every year that you've missed, every year that you missed with your babies, God's going to restore back to you. He's going to restore back to you. What you missed, God said, I'm going to add. I'm going to add to you. Your mind is being renewed right now in the name of Jesus. You are worthy to receive. You're worthy to receive this blessing. You're worthy to receive the very love that he has instituted for you. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. You've messed up. We've all messed up. You're looking at a lot of misfits in here. A lot of mistakes in here with purpose. How many of us made mistakes in here? Every single one of us. I'm here to encourage you, baby. You're going to get your babies back. I've been praying concerning it. I've been laboring before the Lord saying, God, show your mighty hand on her behalf. Strong. Don't you worry. Because not only is he bringing your babies back, he's getting the house ready for you. He's getting the vehicle. My God. Your job with benefits. Putting things in order for you. When you walk in, this is too small. I need room for my babies. And I need a room for me. These next 12 months are going to be a 12 months of processing, deliverance. Because in the following 12 months, within 24 months from this day, you're going to see yourself in a wedding gown. respect, honor. I see the loved ones that you said, God, I want to do this right. People praying for you. And know that God is turning things around for you. I'm shifting. Getting your babies back. He's not putting you on blast. Every single person in here is going to continue to pray until we see the full manifestation. Come on. Praise him. He's worthy. Come on, Jesus. Come on, it's all about Jesus. Lamb of God, who was slain from the foundation of this world. The Lamb of God, it's all about him. It's all about him. Don't worry, you're not offending the Holy Spirit. You're not offending God when you say Jesus, because he answers to all of them. He's a triune God. He don't care if you call him Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, Holy One, King David. He don't care. He knows who he is. He's just saying, I am that I am in your life. I am who you need me to be in whatever season that you're in. I'm making a shift for my people. We're transitioning out of being tested to going into a season of being complete in his fullness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's good. And he's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Stand to your feet. Oh, he's worthy. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. The universal language of surrender. But it's the heavenly language of worship. Worship is established in your lifestyle. It's not a tone of a song. It's not the lyrics of a song. It's in the way you live as a form of worship unto the Father. As we surrender unto you by your Spirit, O God, we thank you that you in this place, but more importantly, you're in our house. You've dealt with us as a young person that's immature, not in a negative sense, but coming into revelation and the illumination of your word, we've matured so that we can produce our harvest for the kingdom. And in this process, God, we will align ourselves with the very Spirit of God that will lead us into the very promise of God. Our mind, our body, and our soul receives complete order with the grace of God. You are omniscient. You are everywhere. You're watching us. You're seeing everything that we're doing as we give glory unto you. As we celebrate this new year, Father, we receive it with gladness that we're shifting out to shift right into the next year. You are the Lamb that was slain. But you're the King that reigns. You are the risen Savior. You are the Christ, the Anointed One. And Father, we thank you for such a great seed that was given unto this earth. Your Son, Jesus. When they put him into the ground, into the gate, Lord, they were burying a seed. And we are that harvest. We are that harvest of resurrection power, that we will go out because you are the multiplier in our life. And we shall see the signs and wonders for your glory. The kingdom of heaven is here now. It is at hand. We walk in our fullness and we walk in our power and authority. For the eyes represented the fullness of power. The horns represented power, authority. And I thank you for it, God, that you hold all power and authority. And you've given that to us, your children. We've been grafted in, God. And I thank you that we've been grafted into the family of God. Your celebrations were not just for certain people, they were for mankind, for all people, all nations, and all tongues. We celebrate today, this new year, that prepares us for the up and coming year of 2017, which will reflect the rest in His presence as you take us from glory to glory. Father, I thank you for what is about to come into the lives of your people. I thank you that if you didn't send it, you will use it and you will turn it for their good. But you've ordered their steps, God. And I thank you that they walk in those steps that you've ordered for them. I thank you for the act of obedience, but with an obedient heart in the form of worship. So, Father, we just thank you right now. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to give this opportunity for someone that does not or has not accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know your Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and really confess with your mouth but believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, now's that time to do it. Just right where you're at. We're going to say this together. We'll say this together as a church. Please repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I know that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. You hung on the cross for me. You were put into a grave. On the third day, you rose for me. And you gave me the keys for eternal life. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. Because I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, my name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, dear Lord Jesus, have your way in my life. Teach me your ways. Let the Word of God be a lamp unto my feet. Let revelation and illumination enter my mind concerning who you are and your Holy Scriptures. I thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in all areas of my life. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time and meant it in your heart, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing on your behalf. Amen. All of them. Not one, all. It says thousands upon 10,000 times 10,000, they are all singing a new song for you. Amen. Before you're seated, what we're going to do is start on the back row, come down this aisle to receive our Holy Communion. Come back up this aisle and we'll go row by row. Michael, you can go ahead and get them ready so that we can receive our communion. Amen.
Everybody's received? Amen. Amen. You ready? He lifted up the bread. He broke it before his disciples. He blessed it unto the Father. He says, take and eat of this bread, for this is my body. Take and eat of this bread. In like manner, he lifted up the cup before the Father. He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples. He says, drink, for this is my blood. The new covenant that I make with you, take and drink of the cup. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, it's a new season. We shifted into a new season. Amen. Amen. Be back here at 6 o'clock if you can come. 6 o'clock. You want to get here early. It starts at 6, so get here early. It's a new season. Fresh anointing is flowing your way. They'll get it right. They'll get it right. New season.